Chapter 14. Now 3 years later, Judas' party learned that Demetrius, son of Seleucus, had sailed into the port of Tripolis with a powerful multitude and a fleet, and that after having done away with Antiochus and his guardian, Lucius, he had occupied the country. But a certain Eliakim, who had formerly been a chief priest, but who had willfully incurred defilement at the time of the revolt, realized that there was no way for him to have salvation, nor to regain access to the holy altar. So in the year 151, he went to King Demetrius and presented him with a gold crown and a palm branch, as well as some of the customary olive branches from the temple. And on that day, he kept quiet. But he found an opportunity to further his mad scheme when he was invited by Demetrius to a meeting of the Congress and was questioned about the disposition and counsel of the Judeans. He said,
"Those Judeans called Hasideans, led by Judah the Maccabee, are maintaining the wars and stirring up seditions and will not allow the kingdom to enjoy tranquility. For this reason, now that I am deprived of my ancestral glory, that is to say, the chief priesthood, I have come here, indeed first, because I am genuinely concerned for the king's interests, but second, also because I have regard for my own citizens. For indeed, our entire nation is suffering no little misfortune from the unreasonable conduct of the previously mentioned individuals. Now, when you have informed yourself with the details of these matters, O King, act in the interest of our country and its hard-pressed race with the same gracious humanity which you show toward all. For as long as Judah is around, it is impossible for the state affairs to enjoy peace."
But when he had said this, the rest of the friends, who were hostile to Judah, quickly inflamed Demetrius even more. Now the king immediately chose Nicanor, who had been an elephant chief, and appointed him general of the land of Judah. He sent him off with instructions to indeed have Judah removed, but to also disperse his followers and to set up Eliakim as chief priest of the great temple. Now the foreign nations throughout the land of Judah, who would have banished Judah the Maccabee, came flocking to join Nicanor, thinking that the misfortunes and calamities of the Judeans would mean prosperity for themselves. But when the Judeans heard about Nicanor's coming, and that the foreign nations were rallying to him, they sprinkled themselves with earth and prayed to him who established his people until the age, but who always comes to the aid of his portion with a manifestation. Now at their commander's order, they set out at once from there and came upon their enemies at the village of Hadashah. Now Judah's brother Simon had engaged Nicanor, but because of the sudden consternation caused by their antagonists, they temporarily suffered a repulse. But when Nicanor heard of the manly deed of Judah's party and the good soul with which they fought for their fatherland, he shrank from deciding the issue by bloodshed. He sent Poseidonios and Theodotos and Metathia to offer and receive their right hands in pledge. Now, after a long discussion of the terms, each commander communicated them to his multitudes. And when it appeared that they were all of one mind, they assented to the treaty. Now, a day was set on which the two commanders would meet privately. And from each side, a chariot came forward, and seats of honor were set in place. Judah had posted armed men who were readied at suitable points to prevent their enemies from suddenly carrying out some malicious plan. But the conference was held in the proper way. Nicanor stayed on in Jerusalem, and he did nothing out of place. But he got rid of the flocking crowds who had gathered around him. And he always kept Judah before his face, for he had a cordial affection for the man. He urged Judah to marry and to begat children. So he married, settled down, and shared a common life. But Eliakim saw the goodwill which they had for one another, and, taking the treaty which had been made, he went to Demetrius and said,
Nicanor is unfavorably minded toward the state affairs, and he has appointed Judah, the conspirator against the kingdom, to be his successor.
Now enraged by this villain's slanders, the king became enraged. He wrote to Nicanor, stating that he was indeed displeased with the treaty, but directing him to send the Maccabees prisoner to Antiochia without delay. Now when this message reached Nicanor, he was dismayed, and he was grieved that he had to break his agreement with a man who had done nothing unrighteous. But it was not possible to oppose the king, so he watched for an opportunity to carry out this order by a stratagem. But the Maccabee noticed that Nicanor was becoming cool in his dealings with him, and was acting more rudely than was accustomed when they met. He concluded that this coldness betokened no good. So gathering together no small party, he went into hiding from Nicanor. Now when Nicanor realized that he had been bravely outgeneraled by this man, he went to the great and holy temple at a time when the priests were offering the customary sacrifices, and directed them to surrender Judah. But when they declared under oath that they did not know where the wanted man was, he stretched out his right hand toward the inner sanctum and swore this oath.
If you do not hand Judah over to me as a prisoner, I will level this sacred precinct of God to the ground, and I will tear down the altar and erect here a splendid temple to Dionysus.
Now having said this, he went away. But the priests stretched out their hands into the heaven, invoking the unfailing champion of our nation, saying these things.
Lord of all, though you are in need of nothing, you have approved of a temple for your dwelling place among us. Therefore, O Holy One, Lord of all holiness, preserve this house undefiled forever, which has been so recently purified,
Now a certain Razis, an elder of Jerusalem, was denounced to Nicanor as a lover of his fellow citizens. And he was a man highly regarded. And because of his goodwill, he was called a father of the Judeans. For in the former times, when there was no political disturbance, he had been convicted of Judaism, having risked body and soul in his ardent fervency for it. Now Nicanor, wishing to exhibit his detestation of the Judeans, sent more than 500 soldiers to arrest him. For he imagined that by arresting such a man, he would deal a hard blow to the Judeans. But when these multitudes were on the point of capturing the tower, and were forcing down the door of the courtyard, and were directing for fire to be brought and to have the doors burned from underneath, Razis, now caught on all sides, turned his short sword against himself, preferring to die bravely rather than to fall into the hands of offenders and suffer outrages unworthy of his noble birth. But in the excitement of the contest, he failed to strike exactly. So while the crowds were now rushing in through the doors, he bravely ran up onto the wall. And, with manly courage, threw himself down into the crowds. But as they quickly drew back, they left an opening, and he fell into the middle of the empty space. But still breathing, and inflamed with fury, he stood up. And though his blood was gushing forth, and his wounds were severe, he ran through the crowds, and stood upon a steep rock. As his blood was almost completely drained from him, he then tore out his entrails, grasping them with both hands. He hurled them into the crowds and invoked the master of the life and of the invisible power to give these back to him again. This was the manner of his death.